Some years ago, CWM had an executive meeting in Korea, and it had been quite a long meeting, and most of those involved were pretty ready to travel home at the end of it. The journey was made a bit more difficult because the weather wasn't good. But when the group flying to London went to check in at the airport, they discovered that one of the group, Reverend Dafydd Jones from Wales, had been cancelled off the flight, and there were no spare seats to put him back on. Now, at first, nobody could understand why that had happened. And then they discovered that the airline had removed his name from the list simply because somebody else with the surname Jones had travelled out of Korea on the same airline the previous day. So the Korean airline had presumed that Reverend Jones had in fact travelled the day before, and they'd cancelled his name off the flight the next day. After all, who in Korea would have believed that two different people with the same, exactly the same, most unusual surname, Jones, would have travelled out of Seoul on two consecutive days? So when he went to try and check in, there was no place for him. And the group tried all ways they could to sort this out and get him onto the flight. They tried persuasion and reason, argument, and even threats. And finally, they said that none of them would get onto the plane without him. But absolutely none of that worked. And still, he wasn't being allowed to get onto the plane. So in the end, some young people from the Presbyterian Church of Korea, who'd gone to see them all off at the airport, persuaded the departing group that they should board the plane that was now getting delayed, and everybody was getting a bit hot under the collar. And they said that they would make sure that Reverend Jones was looked after and got safely on a plane back home. So the group, without him, boarded the plane. About 15 minutes later, they were amazed to see him getting onto the plane. And he was there before it departed. Now, apparently, as soon as they'd left to get onto the plane, the young people from the church said to one another, "We're not trying to solve this problem in the right way." And then they formed a circle with Reverend Jones in the middle of the airport, and they stood and they prayed. And then they went back to the check-in and tried again to check him in for the flight. And that time, they simply succeeded. What exactly happened to change the situation and how it happened, I don't know, and nobody in the group knew either. But I do know that the incident made a big impression on all of those who were there with CWM at that time. And I do know it was an important lesson to them and also to us who were back in the office, a lesson in the fact that we really can rely on God even in life's difficulties, whether they're serious big problems or smaller events of everyday life. And it also reminded us, of course, that how we react and how we deal with the difficulty can be important too. Now, we've been reminded at the beginning of the service today, in the first part, that Moses was a person who had quite a few difficulties one way and another in life. And Psalm 90, which we've heard this morning and which we're going to look at this morning, is the only psalm that's attributed to Moses. Most of the psalms, of course, are attributed to David. And in the last part of the psalm, we find Moses praying for God's help, not just for himself, but also for the Hebrews, for the people of Israel. We know from the story of Moses that Moses had been chosen by God for that very tough task of leading the Jews out of slavery in Egypt. through the very inhospitable desert and onto a land which God had promised them. Moses' life and work was an important part of God's plan, not just for Moses' life, but for all his people. And I think sometimes we tend to assume that when life goes smoothly and everything goes well, we're safely in God's plan for us. When we feel at peace, when things seem to be falling together instead of falling apart, when we feel we're moving within the boundaries of God's plan, and when life is treating us well, it's because God is blessing us. Well, I think perhaps don't try telling Moses that. If we were to ask Moses, he'd surely tell us that being at the heart of God's plan is a very unpleasant place to be at times, and that being somebody who really trusts God can bring some very undesirable consequences at times. And we don't have to take that just from Moses' experience. If we were to ask David or Elijah or even Jesus or Paul, I think they'd all have to tell us the same kind of thing. So, do we really want to be playing our part in God's plans, I wonder? It's a challenge for each of us, but it's a challenge, surely, to live life to the full. Because as one of the young missionaries said to me a few years back, and she said it to me after I'd just fallen headlong into a gutter, got soaked through with filthy water and sprained my ankle and come out again. Life with Jesus is so exciting, you never know what's going to happen next. Well, I certainly had to agree with her, and she was telling me about her missionary work and its excitements and not knowing what was going to happen next. And whatever the challenges might be, wherever God leads, whatever he asks of us, we surely can follow and obey confidently because we know that God has promised to be with us every step of the way. He doesn't leave us to manage in our own strength, but he does equip us for the things that he asks us to do. And in this psalm, Moses recognizes the power of God and knows God's presence with him in all that he's been asked to do. And Moses had already been through a lot more than most of us are likely to be called upon to do in a lifetime, I think. After he'd run away from Egypt to avoid being punished for murder, we know he was called by God through the burning bush to go back to face the Egyptian Pharaoh and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses was reluctant, and persuading a very reluctant Pharaoh to let them go then involved the plagues and the Passover and then the crossing of the Red Sea, which must have seemed a totally impossible task if you were one of the Israelites trapped beside the water with the Egyptians hot on your heels. Even when God miraculously enabled them to escape that particular danger, there was still the desert ahead. And leading a group of 12 tribes who didn't necessarily all work together and get on together happily, who needed water in the desert, who needed food, which God went on to provide for them, must have been very challenging indeed, even with the help of his brother Aaron, who God provided to do some of the talking. And then when God had enabled Moses to do this as part of God's plan to save the Jews, and had provided rules for them to live by, the Ten Commandments, which are still our laws today, basically, the people had grumbled about things like the kind of food provided. They'd argued with each other and their leaders. Moses was always getting complained about, poor man. It wasn't a very nice situation, I'm sure, to be in. And they'd even decided to forget all about what God had done for them and make themselves an alternative god, a golden calf to worship, while Moses was actually receiving God's laws on their behalf. So it's surely no wonder that in this psalm we find Moses bringing to God his concerns about God's anger and God's people, and pleading with God for him to turn away from that anger and spare them all, Moses and the people, from the judgment and punishment which he felt that they really richly deserved for their sins. And he pleads with God to relent and show his steadfast love. We can see that it's really a sort of communal lament, not only on behalf of all the Israelites there in the desert, but it's also a prayer that even their children may see God's glorious might, and that their lives too might prosper and have success. So like Moses, if we want to be a part of God's plan, we need to stay close to God and we need to keep in touch. And prayer is the way in which we can do that. After all, we wouldn't expect to take on a new job and work closely with colleagues or a manager at work to understand the job, to get guidance on how best to do it and training, even to know what we're aiming to achieve, without listening and talking to that manager or that group leader. And if that's true when we're planning and working together here and now, how much more important it must be for our relationship with God. And yet how often, even as Christians, do we only think of praying when we have a problem or feel that there's something that we actually need from God? How often is prayer the last resort rather than the first thing that we think about every day? Another important theme from this psalm is that of our dependence on God. Moses certainly did live life depending on God, as the psalm acknowledges. So many times Moses found himself in situations that he really couldn't control, and in dilemmas that he could see no obvious way out of. But each time this happened, God was there, and God intervened over and over again to save his people. They were regularly forced to rely on God because there was nowhere else to turn. Where else were they going to get help anyway in the middle of the desert? Living on a little desert island in the Pacific, we found ourselves also often asking God for help and provision for things that would be quite simple and straightforward and unnecessary to rely on God for directly in a place like London. If it didn't rain, we ran out of water quite quickly, and we couldn't function without water. If there was a fire, there was absolutely no fire brigade to call. Whatever the fire did, it happened, and we were not able to put a major fire out. If there was an accident, you couldn't phone for an ambulance. Not only were there no ambulance service to small islands in the Pacific, but there was no phone either. And so it went on. And so in that situation, we often did ask God for his help first, and then take whatever practical steps we could do. One day I received a letter from one of the previous teachers named Janie, who'd gone back to Australia. She'd been back in Australia a few years after having been in the Solomons teaching at Goldie College for about 4 years. And I was really struck by the fact that in the letter, when she got back, she wrote and said that, actually, I find it much harder to depend on God in Australia because there seems to be everything that I need and the help that I need whenever I need it here. It does depend on our circumstances, but Moses here is reminding us that we really can depend on God no matter what happens and no matter where we are. And then, of course, the words of Psalm 90 do reflect a difficult journey in the face of human mortality set against God's eternity. God was there, we believe, before the world began. He was there through creation, through the life of our planet from its birth, and will be there until the final end and on through all eternity. We, however, are here alive on earth for just an absolutely minute part of that time. It's no wonder God operates on a totally different time scale from us. 1,000 years to God are like a day to us, we read. To God, our lifespan is like that of a weed that sprouts in the morning, grows during the day, and dies in the evening. We can't possibly see or understand our lives and the world around us from God's perspective. What we can do is to ask God to help us make every day that we have here count. And quite often at funerals, we're told that the person who has just died has lived life to the full. And so another challenge for us is to set about making sure that we do that, not just for ourselves, but also, I think, for the benefit of others too. We do only have one chance of life here on earth. So let's make the most of it and do the best that we can, depending on God's help. Now, although Psalm 90 makes it clear that our setting in time is very finite indeed, and that there will be difficulties, as we know, it ends on a more joyful note of happiness and praise. This psalm, like many of the other psalms, does explore some of our profound human feelings. But so accurate and urgent are some of those ideas expressed in the Psalms that it's easy to forget how far, when we read the Psalms, as Mike Hawthorne puts it, we're peering down a well of time thousands of years deep. I thought that's a very interesting way of putting it. Peering down a well of time thousands of years deep. The amazing truth is that these writings, inspired by an unchanging, an ever-present, an ever-loving God, are as practical and relevant and as alive as if they'd been written today, not thousands of years ago. And so we can rejoice with Moses that God has always been our home, our place of safety and love and security, and has promised to be our home for all eternity. We can ask God to fill us each morning with his constant love, to give us happiness, to bless us and give us success in all that we do. And for us, we can ask with an even greater assurance, because we're part of God's further plan of salvation. Not just his plan for saving the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt, where Moses was the key figure, but God's plan for saving all people everywhere from the consequences of their sin, for which his own son, Jesus, was the key figure. Now we know that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, opened the way for all those who believe him to enter into God's eternal life and to reach that final eternal home with him.